The end of the road, Pastor. Praise God. You know, that's the farthest you could go on a road on the continent. It used to be the farthest west you can go. Actually, Anchor Point is farther west than Homer, but that's all right. We'll say it's Homer. But the end of the road. Thank God he's leaving the light on for everybody there. Who's that guy that did that ad? Anyway, his light is not as important as the light Brother Murphy is sharing. Amen. Come preach, Brother Murphy. We love you. Thank God. We appreciate you tonight. God bless you for your faithful work of the kingdom of God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Glover. Appreciate you so much. Don't we serve an awesome God? He is worthy. He's worthy of praise and worship. I want to ask us a question. And before I do that, I'm going to, Brother Thomas, that was awesome.
All right.
I'm going to have a hard time tonight following up with what he done, because the Lord was ministering through him. He was telling the truth. And anyone that tells the truth and knows the plan of salvation in this world in which we live today is a superhero.
Praise God.
They're a superhero. We need them. We need them. And I'm so grateful tonight to be here in the house of the Lord with you this evening. I want to ask you this question. What made you worthy to have the opportunity to be here in church, in the presence of God? What made us worthy that we could come and say, well, that's my spot. I belong there. I'm going to tell you something. There wasn't anything in me that made me worthy. Brother Thomas tonight spoke all over talking about love. I'm going to ask us this message this evening is going to be when thou art converted.
Okay.
And you know that we're talking about Peter. But I'm going to read Psalms 103 verses 101 through 4 to your hearing this evening, and I'll let you be seated. I have other scriptures that I'll walk through. And I'd like to, Homer might be the place where, as far as you can go, Brother Glover.
Yeah.
But when you're in Homer, everything flows out of there.
That's right.
It don't come down there. It flows out from there. And so we're changing that attitude there, that we're not at the end of the road. We're at the beginning of the road. We're at the beginning of the road. So I'm not correcting Brother Glover at all, but I want to change that mindset, because ever since I've been here, oh, yeah, you're at the place, you're at the end of the road. No, we're at the beginning of the road. The road begins there. The way to God begins there. From Homer, it begins there. It flows out from there. It goes to other places from there. And that's what we're there for, because God is good to us. The scripture here in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 4 to our hearing, said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I'll let you be seated this evening for a little while. I want to try, if I can, to bring to you what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart.
Good.
Brother Glover had texted me Wednesday, I believe it was, and asked me if I would be able to speak. And my first inclination was, man, we're busy. We're trying to get ready to go, and we're remodeling and been working on a house. But no matter what comes about, the Word of God is the first thing. And the Lord laid this on my heart. I've preached it before, and I'm going to preach it. I've never preached anything. It's like my cooking. I can't cook anything twice the same way. I don't preach this word to say, I preach truth, but it's somehow or another. God knows what the need is and how he focuses his attention to those that's within our body. And I want to thank him for his goodness to us. Whenever we begin to look at the Word of God, and I asked you the question a few minutes ago, what made us worthy? I want to tell you something there's nothing in me. I whenever I think about the goodness of God, I can't help but think about who I am. Brother Glover, that may not mean much to y'all, but it means a lot to me because I know what God done for me. I don't know how he would allow himself, a God of all creation that had the power to come and to speak a world into existence and form man from the dust of the earth and create in him a living soul, that he would take the time to stop for a little while for a young man in Morgan, Texas and say, hey, I want you to have my spirit. I want something in you that makes you different from the rest of the world. I want something in you. There wasn't anything that I'd done that made me worthy other than repentance and realizing that there's a God coming one day and there's a world to shine and there's an eternity at that's going to last forever, and somehow or another I got to be ready to make that. Hallelujah. God amazes me, because whenever we begin to stop and look and I understand who I am, I don't know who you are and I don't know where you've been or walked. I hadn't done so many things. I've never killed anybody intentionally. Or in my mind, I might have killed them with my words. I might have destroyed them to a point, but I apologize. God, help me for those things. Lord, help me to grow beyond those situations in my life. God, because I'm not worthy that you would take the time or the opportunity to go to a cross and realize that there's somebody that needs to know who I am and what I can do in their life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward and willing that not any would should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is it okay to step off the platform? In Homer, we're liable to go anywhere. Facebook has got us tied down to that little cell phone sitting here in front of us, and Brother Levi and Sister Rebecca are working on helping us away from that. But I thank God for his goodness to us. I thank God for those of you that are here that I know, because I know God has put together a family that's still able to minister in this world today. Amen. God is good to us. Whenever the scripture begins to tell us that the goodness of God bringeth men to repentance, there's a frame of mind sometimes, or an attitude, Brother Thomas, that we can think, well, God, I've been in church this long and you owe me a little bit. I've seen people get to that point. Well, listen, I've served my dues. I've got my apprenticeship done. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's not an apprenticeship program in God. There's a program that's called repentance. There's a program that's called bending the knees and saying, God, I'm asking you to forgive me. There's a program tonight that says, Lord, I need help that only you can give. I need something beyond what I'm able to do for myself. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And the enemy, how many of us, and I'm just gonna keep it close. How many of you struggle just getting here tonight? The enemy buffets you? He's good at his job. He's always on the job. He buffets. He knows how to bring things about you. You know what? He don't ever forget our past. And whenever it seems like things are just difficult, he'll bring it to your mind. And then there you are struggling with that struggle that only we deal with personally, with the situations in our lives. Our brothers and sisters don't know what's going on. But whenever we begin to look at the goodness of God, I got to stand up. The scripture tells me to raise up a standard against the enemy whenever the enemy comes at me like a bombardment. You know what that standard is? It's the Holy Ghost. That standard tonight, it's the feeling that whenever I get into the house of God, I can find a place that I can worship. I might not be worthy for what he's done for me, but I know this, his blood is worthy of every situation that this world can have, and I've got the ability tonight to call on his name. Devil, you're a liar. I might not be what you think I am, but I'll tell you this, I look good in my God's eyes. I look good to him because his blood has covered the situations of my past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go to Luke this evening, chapter 22, and this deals with Peter, and we know the story. We've heard it many, many times. I want to thank Brother Glover and the Glover family for being friends. Since we've been here, we've been, I think September will be 4 years in Homer. And since we've been there, he'll call ever so often. He tries to sneak down sometimes and get through there without being seen, but it don't. The Lord has a way of revealing his sins. But I'm thankful for this church, and I'm thankful for the fellowship that this fellowship has here in Alaska. We might be at the end of the road, but it's beginning to flow. It's beginning to make a difference. It's beginning. There's people beginning to, if we can just get them praying through the Holy Ghost. Last Sunday we had, I think, maybe 20. Sunday before that we had 25. I'm telling you, that's a big deal for us. I'm thankful for that. We may not have no music, but that's okay. That boy got the Word of God, and the Word gives us the strength to keep on going. The Word brings a spirit about praise and worship. The Word brings something that the world don't have. The Word got something that I need to get through in this life, in this world in which we live. Hallelujah. I want you to notice, I'm going to read to your hearing this evening in Luke 22, verses 31 through 34. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, Satan hath behold, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and into death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, before the cock crow this day, before that thou shalt deny me thrice, that thou knowest me. You know, Peter was an individual, and I don't mean to, I'm not comparing me with anyone else, but I know me. And I know God knows me. Sometimes we can think that we are where we need to be. How many times have we promised that I'm going to fast today and we didn't get it done? How many times have we set aside a place where we're going to pray and we hadn't got that done? How many times have we said we're going to go visit somebody and we didn't get that done? And the first thing the enemy does is brings up these situations of our failures and let you know, hey, you're not nowhere near as super as you think you are. You're not near the person. There's no reason if you go to church. You're just fooling yourself. I want to tell you something. The devil's a liar tonight. There's a reason. Every reason in the world to be here. That makes all the difference in our world of being here and not being here, because it makes a difference in our families. It makes a difference in our loved ones. It makes a difference in our communities. Hallelujah. Peter made the comment, and the scripture says that the others all said, yeah, we're right there with you. These were the disciples. These were men that you would think that these were a select group. So we put them in a superhero status. And they deserve to be there. But I'm going to tell you something. There's only one superhero. That's Jesus Christ. I want to find myself being pleasing to him. I know that whenever I let him down, he's not going to just put his foot on the back of my neck and hold me down. I know that somewhere he's going to send somebody by my way to pick me up and say, listen, brush off the dust a little bit. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Get up. We got work to do. We got a world out there that's lost. And let's get busy on the job of doing what I've called you to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Peter said, I'll not deny you. Now, this is the young man that has asked Jesus. He said, how many times have I forgot to forgive my brother? I don't know what your name is. Do you ever ask your brother to forgive you? No. He said, Peter was stretching it, Brother Glover, 7 times. And the Lord told him, said, no, 70 times 7. This is the young man that that had an attitude, he'd fly off the handle over anything, just really quick to respond to situations. The scripture said because of that nature of the Lord, I'm going to call you Cephas, a rock. I'm going to let that minister for a little while. All the disciples chimed in and said, Lord, you can count on us. We'll be there. You can count on me. I'll be there. And I want you to know this tonight. He told him, he said, Satan desired to have you and to sift you. But I prayed for you. Can I tell you tonight, I don't know what you're dealing with. I'm not going to try to prophesy into your home or your lifestyle tonight, but I am going to tell you this. You got a Savior that knows where you're walking. You got a God tonight that knows what's going on in your life. And I'm going to encourage you for just a little while and let you understand the devil will come at you and buffet you every way he can. But God said, I prayed for you. And when Jesus prays for the church, there's not a devil in hell that can take them out of the church. Whenever we make our mind up that we're going to walk with him, yes, I need to be in church. Sure, it might be inconvenient at times. Yes, the devil's going to buffet me, but I need what the Word of God's got for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Peter had told him, he said, you'll not have to worry about me. Them other guys you might have to worry about, not me. And you go on down the scripture. And you know the story. And whenever Peter had denied the Lord the third time, the scripture said he followed from afar off. Sometimes we can be Christians at our convenience. At what makes us comfortable. But when you get close to Jesus, there's some things that's going to be uncomfortable. Right. You're going to be identified. There's an identity. You're going to have the world. He's going to know your number. The devil's going to understand, hey, if I can just get him, I've got everybody that he witnesses to or that she witnesses to. I got their family. I got their kids. I'm going to tell you something. Now, I got a God that looked beyond who Phil Murphy was. I got a God that's able to reach beyond who I am and fill my children with the Holy Ghost and my grandchildren with the Holy Ghost and use them in the ministry. I got a God tonight that's willing and willing to help those that'll say, God, I need your help. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whenever Peter had denied him, I want you to notice as the scripture said, that he looked into Jesus' eyes and Jesus looked into his eyes. Is it Brother Mike? Is this Brother Mike? Yeah. I don't know, he's a Glover. Brother Glover. When Jesus looked into his eyes, Peter looked into his. The devil come at him instantly with an onslaught. You're no good. Scripture said he wept bitterly. He broke. The scripture said, I want you to notice that whenever you messed up and you created that situation that you wish you could pull back and you can't undo it, and the enemy comes at you and says, listen, you're no good. There's no reason for you to go to church. You're just a hypocrite. You claim to be a Christian and you can't even keep your own words that you set for yourself. The enemy will come at you with everything that he's got. But I want you to know the scripture said that Jesus prayed for him. And whenever the angel of the Lord, whenever Mary went to the tomb, the angel of the Lord was sitting there. And when they looked in, he told Mary, he said, go tell the brethren and Peter. Why? Because I believe that he knew that Peter was dealing with situation. of condemnation and guilt. He knew that Peter was dealing with the onslaught of the enemy coming against him. And the world has the power to pull you down. But he loves you enough. I prayed for him. You let him know that I'm going back to Galilee. You let him know that that upper room is still waiting. There's an experience that he's going to get there that will cause him to be able to live through this life that we live in. Hallelujah. Whenever he got there, she come and told Peter. And the scripture said, Peter come running. And Mark, he went and looked. He'd run, come running, and he looked. And he said, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for the one that prayed for me. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing a little bit tonight, but I know what I needed in my life. I know how the enemy come at me. You've messed up. You can't do it. You can't make it. You can't make it to church. You can't. Your friends know all about you. They know how you live. They know what's going on in your life. And the devil's telling you, give up. Don't go. And the Lord is saying, yes, you can do it. And he's looking. He's not condemning. He's not bringing accusations against you. He's not putting on an onslaught of problems that you can't overcome. But he didn't, whenever he looked into Peter's eyes, he didn't see, I told you, Peter. He didn't see, listen, Peter, I know more about you than you know I do. He looked at him, and he didn't feel any of those things, but the enemy rushed at him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody tonight dealing with some issues. God is letting you know. Hey. That upper room experience, Peter had to go. And he went to the upper room. All the 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice that Peter's frailty before the infilling of the Holy Ghost was his nature. After he was filled with the Holy Ghost, before he was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord told Mary, he said, go tell him to go on to Galilee. I'll meet him there. And tell Peter, when thou art converted, when you get your mind made up, that listen, you might not be everything you think you are, but you need what I've got for you. You need what I have. You need the Spirit that the Holy Ghost is with Christ living inside of you. That gives you the ability to overcome the powers of the enemy. It gives you the ability to overcome the situations of this life. It gives you the hope that God is still on your side and lets you know and understand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whenever Peter had gone and he realized and seen and understood that, you ever had somebody that you called a Christian friend that knows our weakness or our problem, and they hold you down because of it? Yeah. Yeah. Can I tell you? I'm going to bring something to your understanding here. Brother Mike Inslee shared this with me the other day. I was talking with him about this. He said, you know, the Lord let me understand something. He said, Paul was an eloquent speaker. He was learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He was an eloquent speaker. But who did Jesus use for the first message after the day of Pentecost? The one that the enemy come at and said, listen, you can't do this. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can play the piano. You can worship and praise God. You can be a preacher. You can do what it is that God has placed on your heart to do. You can. The devil's a liar. I don't care what the devil's telling you tonight. It was the most inconspicuous one whenever he looked and Peter felt all the condemnation that come upon his actions of lying and telling stories and not being everything that he thought he should be. And Jesus used him on on the day of Pentecost. Hear, O Israel, the message. Acts 2:38, the message that changed the message for the world. I'm telling you tonight, you can do it. You can tell your family. You can live for God. You can defeat the foul, the spirits of this world. You can defeat the enemy that comes against you if you'll just let God be the one that changes your heart and your mind. You see, because after the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that old man that had the power over him to break him down, it wasn't condemnation that Jesus looked at his eyes with. It was love. He said, looking in his eyes, Thomas, Brother Thomas, and he looked at him, and Peter felt all the compassion. How do you feel when you come to church and you've messed up and somehow or another the Spirit of God just knows how to minister to you, and somehow or another the preacher is preaching just to you, and somehow I'll tell you how? It's because God loves you enough to let you know, hey, I'm not that condemnating God. I am the one that gives life. I'm the one that forgives. I'm plentiful in mercy and goodness. The Scripture gives all kinds of references about the time that Israel failed. And all the time I read for the mercies and the tender mercies of God. And David records in his word all the things that he had done. And David, whenever he went back and took back from Abimelech, I mean the Amalekites, when they took his wife and children and they left with them. And David went and he asked the Lord, they come back as 200 of his men were too faint to go on. And those that was in the group said, no, we're not dividing the spoil with them. But can I tell you, David, being a similitude of who Jesus is, said, no, buddy, we're not going to do it that way. They might not have been able there to war, but they're going to divide the spoil just like everybody else. You might not have the strength that others has got, but you have a power of a God that will allow you to walk in His presence whenever we allow the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to move upon us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you tonight, I don't know where you're walking. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know this. I know a God. I'm closing tonight. I don't know how y'all do things. You can come and play the piano or whatever you want to do. But I'm going to tell you this. I listened to that song as we started. Here I am to worship. Here I come to bow down. Here I come to worship. Here I come to bow down. Here I come to praise your name. Something like that. But I'll tell you, I had a 5-year-old grandson that was involved in a 4-wheeler accident. They had to take his face off and rebuild his whole face structure. Whenever he come back home from the hospital, the church had covered the lawn with yellow ribbons and the trees with yellow ribbons as they brought him home from Aurora, Colorado. And the first song he sang, he put his finger over the windpipe, the hole in his throat, that was tracheotomy, and he said, here I come to bow down. Oh, God. Can I tell you? There's nothing I've ever done that made me worthy of the benefits that God has. There's nothing that I've ever done that would tell the enemy, hey, leave him alone. But I'll tell you this, we've gone through situations and trials, but I know a God, if I come to bow down and I come to worship and I come to give him praise, the power of the enemy does not have the authority to hold me down. I'm a liberated person because of the power and the presence of a God that prayed for the church that they could overcome. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So what if you failed? So what if you messed up? The devil's a liar. Today's another day. But God's the same. So what? What your friends say about you? So what if they remember all the things, some things I'm going to tell you that we've done in our past? There'll be those that'll never forget. We will outlive those circumstances if God lets us live long enough, because others will never let them die. But I don't come because of who I am. The reason I'm here tonight is because of who he is. That's what Peter felt. I believe it with all of my heart. Whenever he came and they're gathered in that upper room, you see, he had to walk beside some of them to get them to go back. They were even leaving. They were human. But this God that I'm telling you about tonight, he's not human. He made us. He knows that we're going to mess up. Brother Walker, he said that's why he may had an advocate, the high Jesus Christ, the high priest, that when I mess up, I can go back. I don't have to stay at home and let the enemy hold his foot on the back of my neck and keep me down. I don't have to let the enemy keep my arms down. I might go to church and everybody around me know what's happened, but if you'll just raise your hands, if you'll just get out of that shell, if you'll just let the presence of the Lord begin to minister to you, I'm telling you this, there's a place where you can hold your head up and you can tell your friends and your loved ones, men and brethren, we come tonight to give God the praise, for cause he is the one, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. That promise is what we're talking about tonight. That promise that the God of all creation came to take the spirits of this world and put them in subjection and hold them in chains, that you could be praised, that you could praise him and worship him in his goodness. Hallelujah. Let's all stand tonight if we would. You'll never hear one butcher the English language like Brother Murphy does. You'll never hear anybody speak with unlearned words like Brother Murphy does. I'll tell you this, that I graduated the top five of my class. There was five of us in our graduating class. I was in the top five. But I tell you this tonight, with all of my shortcomings and everything that I'd done, one night with God made all the difference in the world. One upper room experience changed all the conviction and the condemnation that the enemy had, and he poked on me and he put it in my face. And I don't have the authority to stand to say I earned the right to be here tonight. I stand tonight with the authority that invested in me to let you know that there's a God that's greater than every situation that can come against you in this life. If we'll just give him the praise and we'll just worship him. Hallelujah. I don't know if you want to pray tonight, but if you're dealing with something, can I tell you, brothers and sisters are a good group to pray with. A church family, that's why you need them. That's why we need each other, is that we can come together. Oh, it hadn't been a good day. I've struggled. And by all rights, I ought to be dead. It wasn't, I'm talking about what the enemy does to you. Some of you look at me like, man, he went through something today. I've been married 51 years. I've been through a lot. So is she. God's good to us. But if you want to come pray tonight, if you want to come get that foot off the back of your neck, this is a good place to do it. If you want to come and give him the praise, you won't feel no condemnation here. You'll only feel the authority that God is a loving and a caring God. And God will lift you up, and you'll find somebody with their arms around you and say, listen, let's try tomorrow. It's going to be a better day. Don't let today get you down. Don't let today mark your future. Let God do what he wants to do in your life.
Let's come and pray tonight. Let's come and pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's look to the Lord together right now. Call upon the Lord together. Let him minister to you tonight. Let him lift you up tonight. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. I don't want to forget your benefits, Lord. I don't want to step away from your forgiveness and your mercy, Lord. I need you, Jesus.